Hello, everyone. I just wanted to talk real quick about the recent events that are going on in relation to the shooting, the mass shooting that took place in Connecticut. But primarily, this discussion is going to be more about men and how they protect themselves. Now, we've talked extensively about this societal expectation of men. That is quite clearly that we have in society that's quite clearly there for men to protect women and children, from all the evil men there are in the world and so on and so forth. Such is our gender mandate, and it is through this gender mandate that every form of male neglect, from withholding government funding for victims of male domestic violence to the trivialization and ridicule of male rape, derives from. So we're going to talk about this briefly here. Now, well, let me start by saying that if you failed as a man to not be raped, you are a man that by definition cannot protect women and children. You are a failure according to a society that labels men as the default protectors of women and children. And if you're a victim of domestic violence at the hands of a woman, you most certainly cannot protect women and children, and the same male failure to protect applies. And so it's this cultural attitude that makes it so that, blue pill white knights especially are willing to throw themselves in front of danger for women they don't even know, because they believe that they're fulfilling their mandate to protect women. And this type of psychology is so ingrained in men that even an off-duty cop, I'm going to play for you the video. The famous ABC video where a woman was abusing a man and an off-duty cop walked right past him and didn't do anything. It wasn't revealed that he was an off-duty cop till after they confronted him and interviewed him. But I just want you to see the cop's commentary after he was confronted for not protecting this man that was being attacked right in front of his face, essentially assaulted by his significant other or girlfriend.
But what would a cop do when a woman is abusing a man?
Self-centered.
Hi, guys. Why not call 911?
What they would have it, they would just have a little tiff. It'd be all right.
I'd find it upsetting. I would find it more upsetting if he were putting his hands on her.
If you're wondering why they didn't call 911, well, he's a cop.
If it had been the man,
oh, without a doubt,
you would have stepped in.
Yeah. Call it old-fashioned views.
It's a double standard.
It is. What can I tell you? I mean, if you're raised the way I was raised, you don't put your hands on them, right?
So basically, I wanted to show you that video because I wanted to emphasize the point that an off-duty cop, in direct view of a physically violent domestic dispute, can choose to ignore it based merely on the fact that the person being abused is male. And this is in a time where, every major police department, every major American city has, I'm sure, a robust public relations department designed to paint themselves in an acceptable light to the people they are paid to protect and serve. Meaning that all major police departments in America understand that they can only get away with what the people will let them, or at the very least, they must adhere to this perception as much as possible. And this perception states that an off-duty cop could not get away with saying, after passing by someone who was black, for example, in a similar situation, that, call it old-fashioned, it was how I was raised, and, now if it was a black guy attacking a white person, then I would definitely step in to stop it. If an off-duty cop were to say this, I mean, it would be a PR disaster for the department that he belonged to. The cop would most likely be suspended without pay or even fired. Now, I'm not implying that racism is not or cannot be ingrained in many aspects of Western society. I'm sure it is. But I can prove to you, or at least I have proved to you just now, that certain discriminations pertaining to the male gender are much more so ingrained to the point of invisibility. Because a police officer can in fact say the same statement by replacing black and white with man and women, which yields the quote, "Well, call it old-fashioned. It was how I was raised. Now, if it was a man attacking a woman, I would definitely step in to stop it." And that flies. That's okay. So my point in showing you this is that it speaks volumes that while men specifically pay the most taxes out of any demographic, that a police officer paid to protect and serve the citizenry by tax dollars can refuse to provide that protection on the basis of the person needing that protection being a member of the male gender. The conclusion that we must draw when men whom are vulnerable are ignored by the very people our society pays to protect us is that men are on their own when it comes to protecting themselves. Nobody, not even the police, are willing to protect men. We are responsible for it ourselves. And this is where I want to bring up the Second Amendment, which we all know is being hotly debated in response to the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. You see, the Second Amendment isn't simply about hunting or protecting ourselves in the event that it becomes necessary to overthrow a tyrannical government. It's much, much more to men. The Second Amendment is a significant avenue for proactive male self-preservation and protection. Men don't have other people willing to jump in front of violence to protect us, as you've just seen. Even the cops themselves, who are supposed to adhere to a sworn duty to protect all citizens, will refuse to do it, and women certainly aren't willing, and of course, children can't. The right to bear arms, then, is a mechanism for male independence and freedom that men should be uniquely aware of and in support of, in my honest opinion. And those that seek to control guns and to take them away from the general citizenry and men in general are either directly or indirectly seeking to control men and placing men's safety and security under threat. Now, it's common knowledge that men are almost three times more likely to become a victim of violent crime. We simply cannot afford to take the one surefire method of protection that men have left away from them. And as such, I am not, absolutely not, a supporter of gun control, period. Which brings us to the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. Now, I'm going to say as little as possible about the shooting itself, other than the fact that I'm of the opinion that visiting any harm onto children whatsoever is possibly the worst crime you can commit in this world. I mean, it's just off limits. You do not harm children. And so, you know, that should speak volumes about what it is I feel towards someone that would shoot up an elementary school. But that's all I'm going to say about it. You know, I'm not going to make my contribution to the thoroughly repulsive, artificially compassionate, one-upsmanship Olympics we see the media engaging in, where, you know, every single political pundit and personality has to make sure you know just how much he or she feels the pain of the loss of every single child and victim of this school shooting. You know, it's almost as if they're trying to convince us of something they don't believe in. You know, because, of course, everybody knows that we're drone striking all sorts of, you know, schools and weddings half a world away, essentially almost probably on a daily basis. And nobody's saying anything then. But, you know, I'm getting off topic now. The actual aspect of the media's reaction that actually worries me is this current push for gun control that they're leveling, which is probably the most fervent I've ever seen. And it's pushed by these same hypocrites that are penning these, you know, toxic wayward masculinity as the cause of mass murder and school shootings narratives. Notice that if a man or a teenager boy embarks on a shooting spree, especially one such as the Connecticut shooting where innocent young children were targeted and murdered, we blame video games and the Second Amendment and violence in Hollywood. You know, we blame a myriad of things that normal people use every day, ranging from, you know, for purposes ranging from self-defense to entertainment. But more importantly, we blame maleness itself. You know, the very act of existing as a male is pathologized for the actions of a handful of very disturbed psychopathic individuals, which happen to be male. But you know what's interesting is that, you know, when Andrea Yates killed her 7, 5, 3, and 2-year-olds, as well as her 6-month-old. What did we see then? You know, or more importantly, what did we not see? We didn't see any talk of qualities inherent to the feminine to explain the murders of innocent children. And in fact, we bent over backwards to explain it away, you know, postpartum depression and whatnot. And, you know, we continue to do this. We go out of our way to infer that the women who do this, the women who kill their own children, for example, And this is a woman who killed 5 children, you know, so it's not that far off from the 20 children that this gentleman killed. And we go out of our way to infer that the woman who did this, you know, deviated from the inherent non-violentness of female kind due to some, you know, chemical imbalance or whatever other excuse we can find. Essentially, we live in a society where an act of mass murder perpetrated by a male is an indictment of masculinity, while an act of mass murder committed by a woman is an anomaly of female kind, and yet the facts show that when it comes to which gender is more likely to kill children, it is women, not men, doing this in the majority. I've read articles in the Huffington Post even, you know, a feminist screed, you know, where it says that women kill over 100 of their own children every year. You know, that's more than a Columbine, Virginia Tech, and Sandy Hook Elementary combined, just to put it in perspective. And nobody that I've seen when these things happen has inferred that the fundamental rights of women be breached because women are somehow more prone to violence against children. You know, we don't blame female kind for the likes of Andrea Yates, and I'll not sit here and tolerate a bunch of self-loathing, bigoted women and liberal proselytizers telling us that the blame for Adam Lanza or Dylan Klebold or whatever psychopaths currently holds their fancy lies on masculinity and manhood. As you know, on this channel, I encourage men to reject the left-right political binary and just assess things as they are and judge them for themselves. And the fact is that no matter how many school shootings there are, no matter how many Adam Lanzas there are, you as a man are still 100% responsible for your own protection. And if someone threatens you with violence, you have the option of either having a firearm for self-defense or not. That's all there is to it. That's the only decision you have to make in terms of the gun control debate. That's it. And lastly, you know, let's talk about mental health for a second. You know, there's all this talk about how we need better methods of identifying these mental illnesses before these boys slip through the cracks, and all this talk about identifying the warning signs and so on. Maybe we should ask ourselves why, if this is such a male problem, why is it that as you analyze the distribution of gender among our nation's educators, we notice that the younger boys are, the more likely they are to be surrounded in majority by female teachers who quite frankly don't understand their needs and how they develop to the point that they would rather administer all sorts of medications like Ritalin after they've pathologized normal boy behavior at that point, at that stage in development, as a disease, ADHD or what have you. I mean, what is it exactly that these people actually know about the normal development of a boy's mental health when they've done nothing to try to understand it and have actually tried to medicate it away with drugs that prevent the reuptake of serotonin in a boy's brain, in a human's brain? What do they know about male mental health? If they actually had a real interest in the development of mental illness in boys, perhaps they would have male teachers teaching them at critical ages of their development, and perhaps they would actually embrace the differences that boys exhibit in the learning process that helps them learn and develop properly instead of trying to force them into learning the way girls do. These people have zero interest in asking themselves what makes boys tick, and if it weren't for the occasional school shooting, they would never ask the question in the first place. And that's all I really have to say about that.